Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Good morning, guys. I hope you guys have had a good Christmas season, been able to get some relaxation in, get some pretty nice presents over this last little bit. But now, I'm sure you guys are thinking, this isn't Brent. Who is this guy standing up on stage? Well, let me introduce myself. I am the guy who is responsible for probably 90% of the damages that happen to this church. My name is Jesse Linford, and I'm the youth intern here on staff. So that means I am here on the Fridays running the youth events where most of that damage does happen. in keeping up with tradition, this last Friday or last Sunday of the year, they have the interns speak. And I'm going to choose to think that it's because they wanted to save the best for last, not that the pastors wanted a vacation, and I was all that was left. This morning we find ourselves in this little in-between season. The year is basically over, and this next year hasn't quite showed up yet. And it's this season that we start talking about the vision verse that we're going to pick out for this next year. To make sure everyone knows what a vision verse is, a vision verse is this discipleship initiative that we have done here in January at SGAC for the last few years, where we select a verse or a passage of verses that will be our focus for the next year. Instead of doing a New Year's resolution, we ask God to do something amazing in our lives that year. Now, this coming year, our theme is the potter and the clay from Jeremiah 18. And Pastor Brent will go into talk about that a little bit more next week as he gets us to consider what God might want to shape and mold in our lives this coming year. But today, I want to talk about my own vision verse from this last year as well as the one I chose for this next year. So in my faith journey, I've had to learn some pretty hard lessons. And you can ask my dad later. I tend to like to learn them the hard way instead of just listening. This last year has been no exception. When I think about my journey these last couple years, since I really committed to following God's call, I picture this hike that I go on every year with some of my buddies. Now, every year we set aside a weekend over the summer. We get our packs ready and we set out to camp up on this by this lake on top of a mountain. Now, this hike is like 15 kilometers long with a kilometer up in elevation gain, so it's not exactly the easiest hike. And in fact, I think every year we've gone, at least one person throws up. Now, normally that is me, yes, but that's not the point that I'm trying to get at. The point is that it is a difficult hike. But we have done it enough at this point that we have some checkpoints along the way that help us kind of know where we're at in the hike. We have a spot called the Never Ending Ups. We have Home Tree, which is just a tree we named after, just a big tree. We have Little Rock, Big Rock, and Big Steep. Now, you guys don't have to be impressed with our naming skills. I know we're pretty creative and all, but... This hike is something we've done every year, and after all those checkpoints, we finally get to this spot in the hike that we call the moonscape. Now, this moonscape is probably one of the coolest parts of this hike. It is this spot that allows us to kind of look back at and give us a little perspective on everything that we've just walked through. We finally get to see all of our little checkpoints start to come together and make this stunning landscape. It's like this nice little reward halfway through our day to keep us going. But this moonscape isn't just cool for letting us look back at what we've done. We can turn around and see our destination for the first time. We can see the lake that we are headed to. It reminds us why we even went on this journey in the first place. It's this nice calm before the storm, which is the second half of this hike, the backside of the mountain. Now, the second half of this hike is often the hardest and the most dangerous part of this hike, every year the terrain is changing. I don't think we've ever walked back down this mountain the same way twice. We've had to find a new trail every single time. Now, it's this point where I see myself in this journey God has me going down. I am standing on this moonscape, able to look back at what God has been doing in my life this last year, the last couple years. But I'm able to turn around and look forward and see this end goal, this calling he has sent me on or is taking me towards. And just like how we never really know what to expect on the backside of this mountain, I'm not exactly sure where God is going to be taking me over this next little bit. But at the same time, I've been able to see this end goal and I know where I'm going. Now, this morning, I'm going to invite you onto this moonscape with me, and we're going to take a look at my vision verse from this last year, which was Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, which says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves, and let each of you look not to your own interests, but the interests of others." We will take a look at these couple verses and how God has taught me this hard lesson about being humble, being a humble servant and being obedient to him. We'll then turn around and we'll look forward and take a peek at where I believe God is leading me in this next year and going forward in this journey. We'll do this by diving into my vision first for 2025, which is Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Now this says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." Now, looking back at this last year, there have been a couple hard lessons God has taught me, but like I said, I don't know what it is, but it just seems that I love to learn them the hard way. And even though I've learned a couple, I just want to focus on just one this morning. Now, if you were here about a month ago, you might have heard me talk about this briefly with my onstage interview with Pastor Brent. But at the beginning of this year, I was on staff, but I wasn't the youth intern. I was the facilities assistant and volunteering at youth. I had been working here in the youth ministry for a while at that point, and since it had been my calling from God to pursue this ministry, I started stepping up and taking on more responsibility at the youth group. This looked like planning, organizing, and running the Friday events. My call to youth ministry and the quick success that I found in it really started to go to my head around this time last year. I was no longer content with just being able to run the youth ministry, help run the youth ministry, but I wanted to be recognized and paid for my efforts. So I had Pastor Josh apply for this government grant that would let me work here full-time in youth over the spring and summer. This would lead perfectly into my internship that would start in the fall. I would no longer need to work the facilities job here at the church that I felt was below me, or this job that I felt was just like a waste of my talents. I could finally put all my focus and talent into my youth work. Now, if you aren't starting to see the red flags here, this next bit is it's going to make it pretty blatantly obvious. The day came for the government to announce who would get this grant. And shockingly, we didn't get it. Now, there was a flood of anger and bitterness after hearing this news that just consumed me. I screamed at God, "I have done everything you asked." Thoughts like "I deserved that job" or "I was owed that job" were corrupting my mind, and all this anger and bitterness got focused on God, at this church, and at Josh and Corey, who were my bosses at the time. I was like one of those blow-up Santa decorations you see nowadays, but instead of it being like filled up with air and full of life, I was just completely deflated. My effort at youth had hit an all-time low, but it was most obvious here at my job as the facilities assistant. I stopped trying. I stopped communicating with Corey, and I just started showing up kind of whenever I wanted to. It got pretty bad. It got bad enough that actually one day when I was showing up late for work again, instead of letting me go straight to work, Corey called me into his office to have a nice little chat. Now, in the past, Pastor Brent has used this image of a velvet hammer, someone or something that delivers a hard message but in a soft manner. Now, this was Corey in this meeting. He delivered me a hard message in a soft enough way that I could still hear it. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of what we talked about in that meeting, but I'm sure you can assume how it went. Now, in that meeting, he didn't end up firing me or letting me go. But I ended up going home right after that meeting, and I just sat on the couch thinking about the way that I had been acting over this last couple months. It had given me some perspective, and while sitting at home, I saw just how unworthy I was of this ministry God had called me to. I let my ego and ambitions take and corrupt my calling so much that I couldn't even see how God had actually answered my prayers to work in youth and still be able to pay the bills. I'd been working at this church as the facilities assistant for almost half a year at that point, which was giving me this unique opportunity to actually continue working with youth here, but I was completely blind to it. Now, like I mentioned at the beginning of this point, my vision verse, like, I completely forgot that I had even come up with one. And if I had remembered, then I might not have needed to learn this lesson the hard way to have this conversation with Corey. Because if we look at my vision verse again, it says, let me flip back to the page. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Now, I was not a very good example of this, but luckily, there is this perfect example of this in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, who's writing this, in the following verses, after my vision verse, shows us this perfect example. In Philippians 2, 5 to 11, where it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is this perfect example of a humble servant that we need to strive for. Jesus came, took on the body of a man, emptied himself, becoming a servant, humbling himself even more, and becoming obedient to the point of death. Now, not just any death, death on a cross, which was largely regarded as the most painful and shameful way to die. And I couldn't put away a couple chairs to go run Friday night events. When I think about it this way, it puts it into a little bit more perspective. God calls us all to be obedient and to obediently and humbly serve, to empty ourselves so that he can fill us up. This is what God has taught me over this last year. Now, have I got it figured out? Of course not. Like I said, I'm still in the middle of this journey, and I'm still on this moonscape. But looking back at these lessons that he has been teaching me will help me get ready to continue my journey with God forward to what he's called me to. So, being on this moonscape, now that we have looked back at what God has taught me this last year, let's turn around and look forward, looking forward to the vision with the vision verse that I felt God really laying on my heart. These verses was Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, which says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." Now, Paul must have been some kind of jock because he just loves using these athletic images in his writings, which I really appreciate. These images really resonate with me, and I think that's because growing up, I would have considered myself an athlete. Maybe not anymore. But I have been going to the gym, been trying to get back on that wagon. But I had the opportunity to play at a competitive level growing up, and even had the opportunity to play soccer into university for a bit before COVID hit. At the time, I would have considered myself a pretty elite-level athlete, but the other day, I was watching the Oilers game with my wife and a couple friends, and I remember I was heckling one of the Oilers defensemen. Now, I'm not going to name names, but I think we all know who I'm talking about. Now, I was heckling them because they made a dumb play that almost got the Oilers scored on. But while I was heckling him, my wife kindly reminded me that there was no way I could do what he's doing right now. needless to say, she humbled me pretty quick there, and I can still hear her giggling about it even now. I'm surprised I can't hear it right now, actually. But, I mean, she was right. I mean, I'm not good enough to even make the mistake he made. And who am I kidding? I actually don't know how to skate. Yeah, some Canadian I am. I get it. now, soccer was my sport. That was the one I played growing up. And even in soccer, the sport that I thought I was good at, I could never have made it past the university level. There was something that I lacked that the players who go pro, players who are like McDavid, that they have. When I hit this plateau in university, I got stuck there. But when players like McDavid would hit this plateau, they commit, they push harder, and they have this drive that keeps them going. They have this vision of their end goal and commit to doing whatever is necessary to achieve it. They are willing to put in the work, and anything they have achieved in the past is nothing compared to the prize that they seek at the end. For players like McDavid, this could be the Stanley Cup. Now, for us as Christians, this is eternity in heaven. For us, this is to truly know Jesus Christ. And this is what my vision verse for 2025 in Philippians is talking about. Paul is calling us to leave our past achievements in the past and press forward and truly pursue knowing Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is deliberate with his word choice here. Paul uses phrasing like straining forward or pressing on. The use of these phrases instead of strolling or sauntering is deliberate. It implies, the phrases straining forward and pressing on implies it being difficult, it taking commitment. If it was an easy journey, Paul would have just said walk or stroll in those moments. But no, there is an intentionality behind the words he uses. Paul wants us to actively seek out and pursue this prize. Now, what prize is Paul talking about here? Well, Paul is talking about this eternal reward for knowing Jesus Christ, which is eternity spent with him in heaven. Now, I should clarify, when I'm talking about knowing Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about just knowing that there's some guy named Jesus. No, the term know or to know someone in the Bible is used more to describe a personal relationship with them. Now, in John 17, we see Jesus, while praying, say, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Here Jesus is saying that to know God is to have eternal life. To have this personal relationship with God is to have eternal life. Now, this is the prize Paul is talking about. To seek, to strain towards, to push on, is to gain this prize that is eternal life through knowing God and having a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Now, to kind of stick with Paul's athletic imagery, when a pro athlete is training for their next big race or their next big game, there is deliberate and focused intentionality behind every action and behind every choice that they make. They train their endurance so they can play longer. They train their strength so they can play harder. They train their technical skills so they can play better. They strategize and plan for whatever their opponents will throw at them, and they pay attention to their diet so their body is fueled properly. They do everything they possibly can to ensure that they will achieve their goal or receive their prize. It isn't enough for them to just sit back and hope that the prize lands in their lap, or that they just aimlessly happen upon it. Now, this is what Paul is saying our lives as Christians should look like. Oops. We should be pursuing this relationship with Jesus. We should be pursuing this ultimate prize with this deliberate, focused, intentional action of an elite athlete chasing the Stanley Cup. In fact, we should probably be chasing our prize even harder, because our prize, the prize of eternal life through Jesus, is the only and most important thing that we can do. Far more important than any championship. Now, this is what I desire my life to look like. To push forward with deliberate, focused, and intentional choices and actions that bring me closer to truly knowing Jesus Christ. I don't want my life to just look like some walk in the park. A walk in the park is easy. There's no intentionality to where you're going. You're not deliberately pushing through these tough moments trying to grow. A walk in the park, you're just walking around them. So that you don't make yourself uncomfortable. Now, my life for the last couple years has looked like a walk in the park, but God is calling me to change that. I've taken it easy for too long, and it's time for me to push forward and pursue this prize. But no, now to bring this all together, or to land this plane, as Pastor Brent would say, God has placed this calling on my life. I have followed it up to this moonscape, and I am looking back at what he's taught me and where I'm called to go. I've been stuck on this plateau in my faith and relationship with Christ, and this last year, through my vision verse, God has shown me that my motivation was misguided. That I was pressing forward, but I was pressing forward toward my own ego and ambitions. My vision verse for this next year is to remind me that I need to obediently commit to pursuing this relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if I can empty myself and let him fill me up and guide me, my pressing forward will not be worthless. He will help me break through this plateau and press forward on the path that he's calling me down. Finally, seeking this ultimate prize instead of letting my ego and ambitions distract me with desires of money and recognition. Because money, recognition, and titles, these things, at the end of the day, are worthless. None of them will come with me to heaven. The only thing that matters is knowing Jesus Christ, because to know him is to have eternal life. Now, this next week, Pastor Brent is going to ask us to come up with a vision verse for this next year. I would encourage you to take some time, see where God is leading you. Spend some time on your own little moonscape. Because God has each of us on our own journey, and he wants to walk it with you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.